Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
We stand this morning on the brink of a boundless ocean. I guess we could compare ourselves to a child who might play at the water's edge, but cannot fathom the ocean's depths. That's where we stand today. That's what we are today. As we think about the depths of God's peace. The peace that according to Philippians 4 verse 7 surpasses all understanding. It's beyond our ability to produce by ourselves. And because of that, it's beyond our ability to fully appreciate. And yet, it's the topic of major concern in Scripture. It's a major part of heaven's vocabulary. No less than four times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. For He is our peace, Ephesians 2, verse 15. The Gospel is called the Gospel of Peace, Ephesians 6, verse 15. The Kingdom of God is peace, Romans 14, 17. God is the author of peace. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. And we are to pursue peace. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The one who would love life and see good days. 1 Peter 3, verse 11. Let us pursue peace with all men. Hebrews 12, 14. We're to seek the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, verse 3. It's a boundless ocean. But for the next few weeks, we're going to get our feet wet, if you will. We're going to spend some time looking at the biblical doctrine of peace. And today, we're going to introduce that subject. Perhaps throughout the course of the next few weeks, we might discover treasures that in the past we've overlooked, or rediscover some treasures that maybe we have long forgotten. But today, some introductory matters. Let's first of all define it. When we talk about peace from the Bible, of what do we speak? What does the word mean? Well, in the Hebrew, the word is shalom, which still among those that speak the language, they will use as a greeting. Shalom, peace. And the word literally means wholeness, harmony, fulfillment, the state of being at ease, both externally and internally. That's how it's used in the Old Testament. In the Greek, it's eirene. In our English, it's where we get the name Irene, spelled almost exactly the same. It means peace. Literally, harmonized relationships. It's basically the same meaning as the Hebrew shalom. It's that serenity of mind that enables a person to say, regardless of the circumstances, it is well with my soul. There are different nuances of this word in Scripture. Different applications of how this sense of serenity and tranquility and calmness can be applied. There's the vertical relationship, peace with God. Something that ought to be of paramount importance to each person. To make sure that we have a relationship with God that could rightly be described as peaceful, harmonized, tranquil, whole, fulfilled, at ease. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Acts 10, verse 36, spoke of Jesus as being one who preached good news of peace. See, the peace that we have with God comes through the gospel of peace. In Ephesians 2, verse 17, the Bible says of Jesus that He came and preached peace to them that were far off and to those that were near. Our peace with God, our harmonized relationship with God comes through our acceptance of the gospel of peace. And that's why it's called the gospel of peace. It enables us to have a great, calm, tranquil relationship with our Creator. That's the vertical element. There's also the horizontal element. Peace with each other. Peace with fellow man. Romans 12, verse 18 says, "As much as depends on you, live at peace with all men." We mentioned the passages earlier of God instructing us to pursue peace. Seek it. Strive to keep it. And we should be doing that. We should try to have that harmonious relationship with others. It enables us to enjoy life and not grow through life always worried about what somebody might say or do to us, the person with whom we don't presently have peace and harmony. Vertical peace with God. Horizontal peace with our fellow man. And so to apply those terms in those areas, the terms we mentioned earlier, we're talking about that harmonious relationship in which you can look at your life and say, you know what? All is well. All is well between me and God. All is well between me and the people that I encounter from day to day. All is well. But there's a third element in which we can apply these passages and these terms. And that has to do with the internal. And that leads us to the next major point, possessing peace. How do we possess the peace that we need with ourselves? But let me state clearly that we'll not really have genuine peace with ourselves until we first have peace with God. And until we're able to have peace with those around us, we're not really going to have internal peace. We won't have a calmness with ourselves. But how do we possess that peace? Let me offer some of these passages for your consideration. Psalm 119, verse 165. "Great peace have those who love your law." In Romans 8, verse 6, Paul said, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." When we know that we're at peace with God, and when we know that we're at peace with others, the door is then open for us to have a stillness and a calmness of spirit with ourselves. But there's one passage in the Old Testament that really lays out how we possess peace. And that's from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength. God will keep a certain person in perfect peace. Literally, the Hebrew there reads that God will keep him in peace. Peace. And when it's stated in a double fashion like that, it speaks of peace that is perfected. Peace to its greatest degree. God has given us the formula by which we can possess the greatest peace possible. We can relax in the comfort of God's tranquility if we will, number one, keep our minds focused on God. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The word stayed means literally to lean on. To lay the hands on for support. God has to be the support of one's mind. God has to be the main central focus of our thought processes if we want to possess perfect peace. Just like somebody who may have a balance problem for whatever reason and they have to hold on to something to maintain their balance, to maintain their support. That's what the prophet says a person has to do with God in order for them to obtain perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you, who reaches out to you to hold on to for support. Without our leaning upon God, we can't have peace. And so we have to guard our thoughts. We have to focus our mental energies on God consistently. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. We're to set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. For we died and our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4. If we'll be that person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and in that law meditates day and night, Psalm 1 verse 2, we'll be able to possess that perfect peace. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 verse 11. If we want to possess God's perfect peace, we'll first focus our attention on Him. Our mind will be stayed on Him. And then number two, we've got to trust God. We've got to trust Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in You. The word means to feel confident in, to be unconcerned about, to feel secure. That's the trust that leaves in the hands of God those things that belong there. The person who wants to experience the calmness and peace of God is the person who understands what needs to be left in the hands of God and not taken upon himself. You know, there are things that we are to cast upon the Lord, 1 Peter 5:7, who cares for us, who doesn't want us to be burdened down with certain things that either are not our responsibility or things that we can do nothing about. But God can. The person who trusts is the person who is unconcerned about things that we have no control over. Hebrews 13 verse 6 tells us that God will never leave nor forsake us. God's promised us that regardless of what happens in life, He will always be there. Therefore, we may boldly say, that passage goes on, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what men shall do unto me. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, if we will trust God, seek His kingdom first, and seek His righteousness, then God will see that every need we have will be supplied. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. The simple key to possessing God's peace is to stay your mind, focus your mind, lean your thoughts on God, and trust Him. And the result of that focus and trust will be perfect peace. Stillness, undisturbed by outside forces. How many times do we allow the things of this life to get our focus away from God? You know, Jesus once spoke, did He not, about us having faith, and that if we have enough of it, enough faith, enough trust, that we could say to that mountain, be moved, and it'd be cast into the depths of the sea. The Lord is not really in the excavation business. He wasn't really talking about literal mountains there. I believe He was using that terminology figuratively. There are lots of mountains in a figurative sense that get before us, that get in front of us, that look too big for us to deal with. But a lot of times as we stare at those mountains, that's what our focus is on, the mountain. Instead of focusing on the mountain, we need to focus on the mountain mover. And if we spent more of our time focusing ourselves on God, on His power, on His ability, that realizing that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20, and trust Him, and lean on Him, and turn to Him, then those mountains could be moved. But we've got to accept the formula, believe the formula, and do our best to put it to practice to the best of our abilities. There's not a one of us in here, I would say, that doesn't want peace. And there are people that are expending a lot of energy trying to find calmness of spirit, tranquility of mind, and yet they never find it. Because so many folks are looking in the wrong place. How many people in our world today are trying to find a calmness for life in the bottle of alcohol? Or in the vials of crack cocaine? Or they're trying to find it in their checkbook. Just go buy a bunch of stuff. The more stuff I get, the happier I'll be. Or whatever physical gratification they want. And yet, throughout all of that, they never find real peace. Real peace only comes by trusting in God and keeping your mind focused on Him from day to day. That's who enjoys perfect peace. Eric was a missionary back in the 1940s. His home was Great Britain. But he and his family were doing most of their work in Portugal. At some point during the Second World War, the fighting was becoming intense in that part of the world. And fearing for the safety of himself and his family, he decided that he would place his wife and children on a ship to sail back to England. He would stay around for a few more weeks and tie up some loose ends, and then he would follow. The Sunday after his family had set sail for England, he stood in the pulpit where he preached from week to week and announced, "I've just received word that my family has arrived safely at home. And he finished his lesson as he normally did. But the real thrust of his words would not become apparent to the congregation until after the service was over. When it was discovered that the wire that he had received had informed him that the ship on which his wife and children were traveling had been torpedoed, sunk, and there were no survivors. But just for that brief moment, Eric was able to rise above his circumstances and rise above the grief that no doubt filled his heart, because of the confidence that he had that regardless of what had happened, indeed his family was at home and they were very much safe. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In the coming weeks, in this series of lessons that we're calling Peace in the Valley, we'll get a little more specific as we discuss peace in the valley of grief, peace in the valley of loneliness, peace in the valley of uncertainty, and peace in the valley of death. And through this series of lessons, I hope that we'll come to a greater understanding and appreciation of the consolation and calmness of mind that each one of us can possess if we keep our minds focused on God and trust Him more than we trust ourselves. Have you surrendered to the God of peace and to the Prince of peace? If you haven't, you have no peace. Because it's only through your surrendering to God and to His Son that peace can be yours. Jesus came and preached peace, and that peace can be yours if you'll believe in Him, repent of your past sinful life, confess with your mouth your faith in Christ, and allow yourself to be immersed in water. The blood of Jesus will wash your sins away, and the Lord will add you to His church.